We do everything from chatting with friends to shopping on the internet. But what happens if and when the internet crashes? Google email went down this week, shutting users out of their accounts. We'll talk about that specific issue and the big picture of internet reliability. We're also going to take a look at whether some internet companies are overvalued and how some Russian-based hackers crashed government websites in the former Soviet nation of Georgia. We've got Jay Smooth with us. He video blogs at illdoctrine.com. How you doing?
Hello, doing pretty well.
Okay, so Gmail, and I will say that I'm a user. I was like, hey, what's going on? Hey, I can't check my email. Did people get all upset about this?
Definitely sent many people around the world into a panic. I'm not sure whether to take it as a positive or negative, though, because I think for many people it more interrupted our addictive behavior more than it prevented any constructive work. So, I think there are pros and cons to that sort of wake-up call.
Is there any evidence that we could see wider internet failures over time?
I think it's quite possible. I mean, there's many ways that a website can go down. There was an incident a couple of weeks ago where this website named SiteMeter, which gives you a little widget that lets you count the visitors to your website, they changed something on their server, and it caused every website that uses their widget to stop working, which included Perez Hilton and all of the Gawker blogs, a lot of the most popular websites. So there's many ways, as the web continues to grow, that this little fragile network could fall apart in places here and there. And also just the general growth of web use is outpacing the growth of web infrastructure right now. So In the future, we could reach a point where, using the web is sort of like driving in Midtown Manhattan and everything's at a snail's pace during business hours. So we need to be prepared for actually waiting for things at some point.
Oh, dear. Well, let's talk about another very specific example, very different one. The Republic of Georgia has been under attack by Russia this week, but now there are reports that are saying that the former Soviet Republic's computers were hit by cyber assaults. The attacks on websites for Georgia's presidency and a major TV network were traced back to computers in Russia. So do you think that this is a case of what's called hacktivism?
The initial thought was that this was carried out by the Russian government as sort of an advance attack before they invaded, but seems to be more of a consensus now that it was what they call hacktivists, just regular citizens who wanted to sort of join in and jump on the bandwagon with what else was going on. There was a similar incident. There was a dispute between Russia and Estonia about a year ago where a similar sort of cyber attack happened, and everyone pretty much agreed it was just regular folks doing it, which makes it even more frightening if it could just as easily be the government or a group of junior high school kids. So it doesn't bode well for internet security.
Well, let's move on to money, always a fun topic. Facebook. Some executives have been selling off stock in the company. The guy who started Facebook is viewed as one of the youngest billionaires in the world. Now, Silicon Valley watchers are wondering if this is an indication that Facebook is overvalued. It was looked at in some ways as possibly the next Google, but does it have a revenue model?
It certainly does not seem to have a revenue model yet. And, their explanation has been we're focusing on growth rather than profits right now. But, it seems to fall in with the trend we've seen time and again with these internet businesses that, prospective buyers and investors see that there's a lot of traffic and they hope that the money part will just sort itself out. But we saw in the first dot-com boom and bust that those things often don't sort themselves out. So I think there is quite a bit of irrational exuberance in the Web 2.0 scene, and Facebook's probably a good example.
You know, you have this shopping and lifestyle newsletter and network called Daily Candy, and it just sold for reportedly $125 million to Comcast. I remember, don't know the exact date, when Daily Candy started. How did it sell for that much, and what does it do?
I was surprised to see it sell for that much, but then again, I'm not the target audience for it. It's sort of a fashion and cosmetic site.
So it's a chick site, let's just say that.
Right. But, I mean, as I understand it, they have about 2.5 million regular subscribers, and it's actually an email newsletter, so most people get it in their inbox rather than on the web, and apparently is profitable. So, $125 million seems like quite a bit of money to me, but, I've never had money or made money, so maybe my analysis should be taken with a grain of salt.
When you look at things overall, what do you see happening for companies? You know, there's this whole thing of the IPO, the initial public offering, and there's been some sign that technology public offerings are not doing well. Is it a good time to try to sell a company?
There seems to be a slowdown as far as IPOs and those things, which I think, you know, in the short term could, you know, could offer less impetus for innovation. But I think in the long term it could be better because so much of the innovation we've seen up until now has been geared towards achieving an IPO or a buyout instead of achieving a self-sustaining business model. So I hope that if things slow down, it'll encourage people to even look for more pragmatic forms of innovation that make actual functional businesses.
All right, Jay, thanks for the tech update.
All right.
That was Jay Smooth. He video blogs at illdoctrine.com.